Can you hear me okay?
I can hear you wonderfully. How are you?
I'm doing great. I'm doing great. Thank you. How's everybody?
Everybody seems to be good. And
Good.
I know I caught you in the middle of traveling, so I do appreciate, you taking the time to come out and just share the wonderful things that you're doing. And so I don't want to spoil the fun. And so we're going to spotlight you and everything that you have going on. And so if you would just first start off by just telling us a little bit about who you are, and what it is that you do.
Yes, all right. My name is Elma Diggs, and I am by per career, my career, I'm a senior global health specialist. I particularly working in sub-Saharan Africa. So over the last decade, I've worked in multiple sub-Saharan African countries, with between the United Nations. I've worked for UNICEF for a few years. I've worked for Department of State, for DOD, building out health programs in
Nice.
the development and defense. And then I also most recently opened up my own business. I have a African jewelry line called Legacy Designs, where I partner with local artists that focus on African jewelry, and everything is handcrafted. And so it was my career that drove me really into my entrepreneurial opportunities.
Gotcha. That is dope. And so, just for the sake of clarifying, because I didn't have a geography class, can you tell like the countries that are part of that sub-Saharan African part
Okay.
group that you've been working
It
with?
there are so many. So
Okay.
basically anything south of the Sahara.
Okay,
You know,
gotcha.
you think of your northern, like your Libyas, and you think of your Morocco's, you think of your those are more northern African countries. Then you have the Sahara there. And then sub-Saharan, you're talking about your West African countries. So I'm from Liberia, so I'm going to represent Liberia,
Gotcha.
Nigeria, Ghana. You have your Benin. You have your then our East African countries, whether it's Kenya, Uganda, Rwanda, Ethiopia. You have your Central African DRC, where it's so rich with all the new natural like resources. And then you have your South Africa. So it's just all most of what you think of Africa is that sub-Saharan Africa. Yes.
Gotcha. Okay. All right. Now, how did you, I know as far as the jewelry, you said kind of your job led you into that. And my assumption is that just by working with these different groups in places like globally, it's like, okay, how can we connect more? How can we, connect more with people? But how did you even get to wanting to do international work?
So I was born in Liberia, and I left Liberia because of the Civil War. And so when the Civil War happened, I was blessed enough to have the resources to be able to leave. And for those who don't know anything about the Liberian Civil War, it's one of the most brutal civil wars that were ever fought, because it was mostly fought by child soldiers. And I had a sister who died during the war, and she died of something called typhoid fever, and it was totally preventable. And her death impacted our family so much. Like, my father was never the same. She left three young children behind, and just seeing that the impact that it had on my family, it was absolutely preventable. From the time I was in sixth grade, I knew like I was going to dedicate my life to help families not deal with, or try to like help families to be able to circumvent what my family went through. And so I didn't know what that pathway would look like necessarily in sixth grade. And it's definitely taken a lot of bends and changes. And so I went from at Liberty, I majored in health promotion, went on, got my master's in public health. And all the while, I knew I was going to be heading to Africa. Particularly Liberia was always my dream, but I got Liberia right after grad school, and then I was like, all right, what else is there to do? And so I've been just working the region for the last a little over a decade now.
Got you. Now, would have been, and based on what you said, a lot of what you do has been traveling, correct? Okay.
Yes, yes.
So what has been, would you say, out of all the places that you've been, let's just say within the last 10 years, What are your top two favorite places?
My top two favorite places. One, my okay, so number one on my list would be Liberia,
Of
just
course.
because that was my home country. And the work that I did there, working for UNICEF, building a health infrastructure there, was just the absolute cool, like the places I got to see. I worked in a very rural area, a very remote area. And so I wasn't in the city, and I don't want to talk about Africa and you think like Africa is like they had the city. I didn't work in the city. And so I worked in a very remote area where some of my clinics I went through to were only accessible by helicopters. There were times I would have to like drive through the Liberia National Park to get to my clinics. And so I might be driving to work one day and there would be like rhinos or monkeys or and so it was I mean and then the people were just so amazing, so grateful. The work was so impactful because they had no infrastructure. So when you're starting from zero, you build so much. And so to today, I was there on the when Ebola hit, and so the community response within five counties, which is about a third of the county, the country, was I helped to build that. And so that was really meaningful work for me. That'll probably rank one. And then number two would be Ghana. Accra is my favorite city in the world. Like I've gone to Europe, I've gone all over the world. There is no place in the world to me like Accra. And so my most recent job, I worked with getting the medical components ready for UN deployments. And so the US bought these expeditionary medical hospitals with surgical capabilities. And so when COVID hit, I was able to work with State Department to get Congress to reallocate those facilities. And so they helped to augment the domestic response to COVID-19, and so helped to stand that up. And then I was working with Ghana, and so you would get notes like the facility you stood up, we had three bursts there today, or and so I've been to Ghana at this point over 20 times. I have like amazing family friendships there, and so that'll probably be my second favorite.
Yeah, I have heard like a lot of great things about Ghana. Shout out to Ghana. My brother-in-law is actually from Ghana, and he loves it. And so that's pretty amazing. Now, how, with you traveling as much as you do, how does your family play a part in that? Do they get to travel with you at times? And especially like with COVID, how did all of that transition work out?
So for the first few years, I actually lived on the continent before having a family. So when I was young and single, I got to live on the continent. But since starting a family, no, I've been in the security sector for the last few years. So definitely, family did not get to travel with me. I have an amazing family because I have two young kids. And so during the course of my last job, I unfortunately went through a divorce, and I've had an amazing family that stepped up. And so my oldest son is 8, and my youngest is 5. And so from the time my youngest was 6 months, he was 6 months when I took my first trip. And so prior to COVID, they only knew mommy. Like in our household, mommy was always gone. And I traveled anywhere from 30 to 50% of the time. So I might be gone for like up to 2 weeks, to a couple of days every month. And so for them, prior to COVID, it was normal. It was nothing for me to be gone because that's what they knew their entire lives. And then after COVID, I was home all the time. And so it became very difficult for me to leave. And I'm actually not willing to travel as much anymore just because it's very difficult for them and they come first.
Absolutely. And so going back then to your business that you just started recently, what how did jewelry come about, or what was it? Why wasn't it necessarily like clothes or putting together travel packages or hair, but all of a sudden jewelry? Why jewelry?
Yes. So, when I for for my job, I went to the same country many times.
Yeah.
And so after, like, at first, after you kind of go to all the touristy areas, I am a shopper. Like, nothing makes me happier than shopping. And so after I, like, hit up all the tourist areas multiple times, I would spend most of my time in the markets. And so I didn't want to go to the markets, like, where all the tourists went. I went to where all the locals went. And so then I would sit down and start talking to these market women, the youth, and I started to get to know them. And so when you're there multiple times within the quarter, you kind of get to build these relationships with these vendors. And then I was like, what is this? And so, for example, like the piece I have on now is made out of elephant bones, right? And you start finding out the rich history behind what the East Africans wear versus the West Africans and why they wear certain colors or certain things. And so I would buy these things and I would come, and every time I come back home, everyone would raid my jewelry. And so then I would come back and I realized, like, I have nothing left. And then I was like, oh, this is a business opportunity. And so I also come from a line of entrepreneurs. Like, my mom, the women in my family, like most African women, we are strong entrepreneurs. So my mom was a complete career woman, but she also had always had multiple streams of income. And I was taught at an early age, one stream of income is not acceptable. And so throughout all of my career, I've had, whether it was like when I was working with the UN, I had a side hustle. When I was working different jobs, I would have my jobs. I might be catering. I might be, I used to at one point sew African, accessories. So I've always had a love for accessories, a love for crafting. But then just realistically with my life now, with having kids, with traveling, I didn't have time to sit and sew. And so I was looking for a model that shared my love for the culture, shared my love for traveling, shared my love for the rich history of the diaspora. And so it's just cultivating that community. And that's what we're trying to do at Legacy Designs. We do all handcrafted African pieces, but then it's also about sharing the culture and then highlighting that, we are a rich history within the diaspora. And what I mean by that is it's not only Africa, it's not only America. Actually, most Blacks outside of the US actually live in Brazil. So even a lot of times we think that we're here. No, and I have a great group of friends from the UK and just Europe. So we're all over, just always trying to highlight what we as a rich culture within the diaspora are doing.
Wow, that's amazing. And so with everything that you just shared, from what you're working now in public health and not traveling as much, but really just launching this business, what are the things that you are looking forward to do, and or if you have any specific ideas that you can share as it relates to your jewelry?
Okay, so within the jewelry line, I actually I as of Friday, I know I'm no longer with my job, and I'm taking a I want to take one yeah I want to take 1 or 2 months off. I had an amazing few years within DOD, and I want to take a few years to reflect. I'm actually driving right now with my kids on vacation, spending time with family, and just really taking some time to just pray and ask the Lord what's next for my life. Because right now, I think I know what I want to do, but I don't want to move prematurely, so with my goal with Legacy Design is just not to sell jewelry, but to really highlight the culture, the women, and all the achievements, and build a network of women within the diaspora. Whether you are a professional, whether you're a entrepreneur, whether you are a stay-at-home mom, like our hashtag is LD, Legacy Designs, take us with you. It doesn't matter. And so I've worn my earrings. with me, and I wear my pieces whether I'm sitting on a global stage presenting or whether I'm just agitated with that director of the school in the pickup line, and I know I have to go, you know, deal with something, you know, yeah. Or it's I need to just throw something on. I don't want to go to the grocery store looking busted and disgusted, yep. You know, I'm putting on my black leggings, you know, and just so something like that. And so, just really yeah. building it, whether it's a good day or not, just building that community that we're there with you. And so that just doesn't come to be. And so the next couple of months, and I'm going to be vending a lot more. And so just realize aligning opportunities with what I want, and then making sure, first of all, that's in alignment with where the Lord wants me to be. And then career-wise, I am hoping to make the jump back from defense to development. Mm-hmm. And so making some changes within my my public health career. And so so it's a lot of changes, but right now really in my life it's just a time of rest, of reconnecting yeah. with the Lord and then realigning, you know. So if I've gone off kilter somewhere, just asking God to put me back on whatever path he wants me on.
Yeah. I think that's amazing. And you use the word prematurely, because I think, especially when we've been moving, we forgot what it means to just stop. Like, mm-hmm. okay, let's see what we're doing. Let's look at everything. Let's look at the people that are around us. Look at the how the people around us have changed, whether it's in number or just maturity, all that type of stuff. And so I think just taking that time to pause, to reflect and say, okay, God, like, what's next? Especially with what you've already done. And it's like, when you are in line with God, so often it's like, okay, you've already done this, but he says, my ways are not your ways, and my thoughts are not your thoughts. And no eye can see, not that verse, or he can do more than we ask or we think. And mm-hmm. so even though we've already thought, oh my gosh, I can do all this, God's like, but I still have more that you haven't even thought of yet, you know?
Yes.
So those next initial steps, I think that's pretty dope. And so just at least for what you're doing and how you're connecting and your line and all that, how can people get in contact with you to connect with you and support your current business?
The best way to connect with me is to follow me on Instagram. I think I just realized I join on my personal, not my business, but yes, I am most active on Facebook and Instagram, and it okay. is Legacy Design 2022, and so that is the best way you can see what I'm up to, what lines are out. I try to highlight, you know, what's happening within the continent. I try to push out some news stories so that mm-hmm. you're aware. Our vice president just left the continent with billions of dollars of investments coming in. And so just kind of mm-hmm. highlighting some of those things that are coming through. And then also the business, you know, you can see I would love for you to purchase some pieces and then yeah. tag yourself in it, and I love to highlight you. I love it when someone shares with me, you know, I had this concert to sing at and I wore this, and I love that people are taking this with you. Yes.
Oh, that's amazing. So absolutely. And it's Legacy Designs with an S or no S?
No S.
No S. Okay.
Yes.
And so just the last question, and then I'm going to let you go and get back to traveling and stuff like that so that you can go be with your babies in a chill environment. What was the purpose and or the desire using the term legacy?
So what I use that because I actually have two businesses. My first business using legacy, actually, I have Legacy Gardens. My mother passed away in 2007. Mm. And one of the main things my mom and I did together was garden. Mm-hmm. And I am an avid gardener. And so Last year, I wanted to commercialize my gardening, and so, you know, sell seedlings, do bouquets. But it was definitely a learning year, so I actually like registered Legacy Gardens, and I wanted to get everything. But once again, you're traveling so much, and I came up with that name because in honor of my mother, if I'm missing her and I want to do something, like gardening is what I do. And so when I started my jewelry business, just with her entrepreneurial spirit and everything she taught me about business, it was actually a homage to her primarily. But then also the strong women in Africa, like the Liberian Civil War, it, like I said, it was one of the most brutal wars that were ever fought. But the war actually ceased because of women. So we have two, Liberia has two Nobel Peace Prize winners, and one of them is Limu Bui. And she was one of the architects that helped to cease the war because, A, she was able to organize the market women of Liberia. 70% of Liberia's economic powers comes from these women, right? And so she had organized the women who were just sick of their sons being stolen and made to fight wars, sick of their husbands fighting these wars. And so they started to do these strikes. And when the strikes didn't yield any results, they actually did an extended sex strike. And that helped to stop the war. And so I realized that I was coming. That's my legacy, the power of organization, the power of women. It is actually a homage to the, and as a Christian, I don't want to use, because I think this word gets used like our ancestors, and I don't use that in any sense, but literally the legacy of them. Coming from that and drawing on that, I want us to build this community. So while we all may not be from Liberia, we all come from that legacy of strong African women. And we forget sometimes, I think as we're in the States, we've acculturated into so many different cultures, going back and paying homage to where we really came from and the legacy and the strengths of the women that we come from. And so that is why I selected that name.
If I had a mic, I'd drop it. but that is beautiful. That is beautiful. And my prayer for you is that the Lord does dish that, and that whatever your heart desires, he'd be like, yep, you got it. You know, because it's something that's so amazing. And I think you have such a beautiful opportunity to show the beauty of Africa. You know, it's kind of a stigma, unfortunately, in the United States, of how people view like the continent. And it's like so freaking big. Like, I don't think people realize how massive Africa actually is. And so even like you said, when you went to Liberia, no, there are cities, you know, and there are these beautiful places, and even going to the natural parks. I mean, I would love, you know, to be able to go to work and see a giraffe and see, you know, and see a lion just walking up the street, just minding his business. You know what I mean? But it's just so much that's there, so much beauty, so much wealth, so many amazing people that you've already described. And I just believe that God's going to, you know, be able to use you to bring that to the rest of the diaspora, to help find that identity that has been lost in the Black community here. So thank you.
And thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, absolutely. It's been a true joy to see your face and just to connect with you, to talk with you here about what's going on. And I have seen a few of the pieces. I haven't looked too deep or gone too far, but I have seen them. They are beautiful and stunning, and I can't wait to purchase mine.
Yes, yes. And we look forward to you taking us with you.
Yes, yes, yes. All right, Miss Dear Elma, I appreciate you. I love you. You are beautiful, and I will see you soon.
Thank you. Thank you. All right. God bless you all. And thank you, everybody.
All right. Bye. Yay, she's here. Thank you for coming back with me for part two of episode 6 of Purpose Spotlight. We had a great discussion with Elma, and now we have our second guest. Hello. How are you?
Hello.
Yeah, looks like you are walking in the airport. I know how lovely that always is.
I am getting settled in the American Airlines Club. So.
Ooh. Fancy.
No commercials. I was not. That was not paid advertisement.
Touche. Well, then we will not belabor. I know you are grown, booked, and busy. So I do thank you for taking the time out to come and just share who you are and what it is that you do. And so just without any further ado, if you don't mind telling us who you are and what it is that you do.
Hi, everybody. My name is Kelly Diane Galloway, and I'm honored to be able to serve as the president and founder of Project Monitos, Western New York's only, first and only restoration home for women who've been victims of human trafficking. And so prior to opening that, though, we had, I had been called to do some international work, and that was when I started an organization called RAMP Global Missions, R-A-M-P. For reaching as many possible. And so that was really a step of faith, because I had absolutely, I was absolutely in love with my career at that point. And it was really a step out on faith to say, you know what? I don't know how this is gonna work out. And I don't know God's full plan, but I do know that he's calling me from my comfort zone, and from making a lot of money to do his work internationally. And so what ended up happening was I worked for a college, and our motto was changing futures and changing lives. And that motto, because it always, to me, represented the work that I wanted to do with my life. I wanted my life work to change futures and to change lives, but I had no idea that it would be my lifelong work. And so working at that college, and I literally loved that job. Everybody that knew me knew that I loved that job. And I remember I woke up one morning and I said in my mind, I don't want to go to work today. And then literally it jolted me out of, like, you know how when you wake up, you got to wake up in phases, like, I'm up, but in 5 minutes, I'm a sit up. In 5 minutes after that, I'm a get up. And so, but no, it wasn't like that. It literally jolted me out of my sleep, and I was scared. I was like, why did I think that? Like, am I going to get fired today? And so I went to work, and I was just looking around, and I was like, is something going to go wrong? So much so near that fear sat in my heart so much that day that I packed up all my pictures off my desk, put it in a box, and took it home, because I thought that sometime that day I was going to get fired. And I didn't. So after work, I called my pastor. I was like, hey, can I come talk to you? And he was like, yeah. And it was a couple of people around. And I said, I didn't want to go to work today. Everybody in the room was just like, what? And I was like, yeah, I don't know what happened. His phone rang in that moment. And it was a woman by the name of Cheryl Ray. Her and her sisters and her mother are known for their prayer mantle in Chicago, Illinois. And she said, Bishop Younger, God just spoke to me and said that somebody in your church is in transition and they need to turn over their plate and fast. And so he said, I think she's in front of me. And so that very next day, I started fasting, and I fasted for 40 days. And I would go to my church every night and I would pray from 11 p.m. to 12 a.m. or sometimes 1 a.m. And then that's when the Lord put the nations on my heart. And a year later, I started RAMP Global Missions. I moved to India, Nepal, Brazil, Guatemala, and I've been building in all those countries ever since. And And then when I realized that there was such a great need at home, where I'm from, which is Buffalo, New York, that's when I opened up West New York's first restoration home for human trafficking victims. So the work that I was doing internationally, I also now do it in the United States as well. So sorry about the poor light quality, but I'm in airports, and unfortunately, that's just a part of my life. And I'm like traveling 2 and 3 days a week, and so the airport is like a second home to me.
No, you are completely fine. And I think that's incredible, you know. And my question, and that I think will help those who are in that transition space. What was, or what drove the decision to, and I guess you did kind of already answer, but what really drove your decision to trust God versus trusting yourself in the job where you were?
I think that sometimes we have these moments where it can be identified as nothing other than a collision with destiny. And I think that God knows how to get everybody's attention in a way that's truly unique to them. For me, God got my attention by saying, by me just having a thought that I didn't want to go to work that day, right? And so that's not like my character. That's not my regular pattern of thought. And I believe that before he wanted to drop something, wanted to communicate something to me, I believe that he let me know that this is about to be a sacred moment. Like, so I was so aware and so alert that day that I was looking for anything. And so even when I did it, but this is the thing. Sometimes we feel like God is telling us something. We don't really know if it's us, or is God not talking to me, or is God really talking to me, or is this myself? Is this the enemy? Like, but I think that is when prayer and fasting you have to make sure that prayer and fasting is a part of your regular life as a spiritual, as a believer. It has to be. It cannot be optional. It can't just be something you do corporately. Like, as a believer, you have to have not just a prayer life, but also a fasting schedule. It really needs to be a part of your daily life.
I think that key to everything you said is really, because you had already been in that lifestyle, had those disciplines already working for you, you know, God didn't necessarily have to drag you out, you know what I mean? That you were already alert and being able to discern, okay, something's got to happen. I don't know what, but something is, you know, something is off, you know, because it can be easy to miss it. Yeah.
I have a pastor, and I also have a covering, because I couldn't discern that moment for myself. What I felt like maybe I need something else. Like, can I just talk this out? Yeah. And so I think that's where our prayer partners and accountability steps into place. Like, listen, like, because the Bible says that we should surround ourselves by people who are wise.
Yeah.
Right? And so sometimes you just have to seek out wisdom, and that might be from a pastor, that might be from a spiritual mother or father, that might be from others that you know are disciplined and have a nurturing and nurtured relationship and walk with Jesus. And so in that moment, I was obedient. I heard God, and I moved. And that was one thing that he had been working in me over the years, is to, sometimes God will say something or speak something to you, and you do it when you feel like it. But, like, I learned that partial obedience is still disobedience. And when God speaks, move right away. You know, if that's his word, if that's what he's telling you to do.
And I think the more more that you do it, the more that you begin to recognize his voice so that you don't have to delay in whatever that particular word is, you know, because there are some situations where, no, we need to hear his voice very clearly in this moment, like right now, you know. So we have to be able to recognize, okay, God, that was you. That wasn't God. Okay, this is you now. Okay, now let's act accordingly. Let's say accordingly. So, and all of that is attracting, you know, that relationship and that discipline and that, that daily seeking, you know, of his face and of his voice and being in his word, because you know his character, you know what he says and what's been happening and being able to pick up on everything. And so thank you for being obedient, you know, and because I've seen, you know, when you first started and things like that and just where you've gone, where it's taking you, and the impact that you've had over the last
almost a decade now. Well,
what are we, 2023?
Yeah, my church, we started I'm a part of a church plant called the Ramp Church, for those of you who don't know, but we just celebrated 18 years yesterday. So mm-hmm. this work started 18 years ago. Prior to that, it was Shekinah. But as far as like my international work, it's almost we're pushing almost a decade coming up. Yeah,
and people don't realize time goes by so fast. Time goes by so fast. Listen, you know, so you put stuff off and all of a sudden 5 years go by and it's like, wait.
Yeah, and mm-hmm. I also think that we think that time is on our side. That's what I tell everybody. Mm-hmm. Like, a lot of times I think we think that time is our friend and time is a tool. Time does what it's supposed to do. It passes mm-hmm. by. And so sometimes we should make sure that I think we abuse the fact that we got today and we got yesterday and mm-hmm. all these days. You've gotten so accustomed to thinking that tomorrow is promised to you and it's mm-hmm. actually not. Yeah. And so for me, I heard Dr. Miles Monroe preach a message one time, and he asked us one question. And actually, I made this as like the closer for all my speeches that I ever do. And he asked a question. He said, what is the richest place on the planet? Where's the wealthiest place on the planet? And, you know, people were saying so many different places, Egypt, Africa, Europe, like, and then he was like, it's the cemetery. He was like, there's so many people that's going to go to the grave with all this, these God ideas, all these books, all these businesses, maybe the cure for cancer. They're going to go to the grave with it because maybe they allow fear to override their faith. And for me, it would have never been fear, but it would have been my flesh. My flesh was the one thing that I had to crucify on this journey. Like, honey, because let me tell you, at one point, Nia, it was all about what Kelly wanted. It was like, Kelly wants to be with that man. Kelly wants to buy that. Kelly wants to go there. Kelly. And I had become my own God, and I didn't know it.
Yeah.
And so I had to repent from that lifestyle, and if I really meant that I wanted to die empty, maximize my full potential, I had to make God the center again. Because I had got so lost. And then I was like, oh, I want to do this. Oh, I want to do that. Oh, I want to do this. Oh, I want to do that. I thought trips and gifts and all these other things were going to fulfill me. But no, the only thing that could fulfill you is God and doing what God called you to do.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And So I didn't dot all my I's and cross all my T's, but I wanted to be the woman of God. I made up my mind, and then I think it's a daily making up your mind, because even January, you know, the day after Thanksgiving of last year, 2023, I sat down and I wrote like an apology letter to God, and I'm like, Lord, I could be doing so much better than where I am. I could be so much further than where I am. But I've allowed distractions to delay me. And maybe it's because I'm 37. And yes, I'm traveling all around the world. I'm doing your work. But I'm not a wife. And I'm not a mother yet. And I'm not this. And I'm not that. And I started to focus on so much of what I wasn't. That I didn't honor God for everything that he made me so far. And so I refrained from that, and just start thanking him, like, Lord, thank you for allowing my feet to touch these different continents. Yes. Thank you, Lord, that I have friends, and thank you, God, that I have family, and Lord, forgive me for making mountains out of molehills and magnifying all the things that I don't have, when in fact, you have blessed me with more than I could have ever imagined.
Yeah.
And then I started changing my language. I start even now, from November of last year, like, if you look at my life on social media, you're like, oh, she's doing it. But I'm telling you, I could be doing so much more. I could have been doing so much more. Without gratefulness and acknowledgement daily of God's blessings, I believe that I was only operating at 60% of my capacity. Of everything that God put on me to do. But now that I've reframed my thinking and reframed my language, I believe I'm well on my way to 100%.
Yeah. Amen. It makes me think, I was just in a conversation, I think this past weekend, and there's a lady had did a study as to where the average person has 600 gifts within them. You know, and obviously this is not spiritual gifts, but just things that they actually have the ability to do. But yet, every time you talk to somebody, or often we talk to people, oh man, I'm burnt out. And all you're doing is working. You know, and there's nothing wrong, obviously, with working. And people are obviously called to corporate America. But when we continue to rely on our own strength, when we continue to see what's directly in front of us instead of going to the one who has the much bigger picture, who tells us to rely on his strengths, who tells us to trust in him so that way he can give us the capacity to operate in our 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, and for whoever can operate in their 600 gifts, kudos to you. kudos to you. You know, because I'm a firm believer that when you get overwhelmed and frustrated, it's oftentimes just an imbalance and you're not where you're supposed to be, you know, and you're not really aligned with, okay, God is calling me here and here, but he only wants me to give about this much here or put in this much here because he needs me that other percent to go over there. And he knows how to divide. He's very strategic, you know. So I think, you know, just in agreement with everything that you said, and there's so much that needs to be done. And I think we're in such an amazing time now of revival where people are waking up, you know, to what God has called them to do. Obviously, COVID was a big part of that for a lot of people because they didn't really have a choice at that point. They didn't have a choice, you know. And now just with the revival that's taking place, I think it's been called the spiritual awakening. That's been going on. You see more and more people like, you know what, let's go, because we don't have time. You know, it's the sense of urgency that's out there now of where God, he's coming, you know, the Lord is coming back, and he is going to activate as many people that are willing to be on his team, you know, to bring as many people into heaven as possible with him, you know. And and it's like, man, I want to be a part of that. Let's go. Because you see people moving, you see him doing different types of things, and it's like, yo, he's moving, you know. And this is that time where I believe he's drawing that line in the sand of who's for me.
Absolutely. And you then know? I also think that we allow doubt to creep in so much that it allows us to waste time. And so I think sometimes we have so many people that we, like, I can't tell the difference between believers and atheists. Because, like, if God called you to do something, and it's just like, and like, you just don't believe him. He tells you you're worthy, you don't believe it. He tells you you're beautiful, you don't believe it. He tells you to go here, you won't do it. You know, and it's just like, come on. Like, there has to be some distinction. So check me out. Like, I was talking to this one woman, and she said, you know, I want to start like a youth program. Mm-hmm. So I was like, okay, yeah, let's do it. And she told me like how she's anointed to do this and how she's called to do this and how she has boom, 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 all these different things, and how she has the money and all these different things to do it. Well, I ran into her the next year. I said, so how's it going? She's like, no, I mean, I'm going to do it. I met her again the next year because I see her every year at a conference. Mm-hmm. And so eventually I said, girl, the girls that you were talking about working with in high school, they done graduated now from the time I first met you. They gone. Mm-hmm. They in college. You know? Like, so it's just like, when are you going to hear God and move? Mm-hmm. When are you going to hear his voice? You already understand it. Mm-hmm. But how long are you going to think that you have time? You know? And so I think that for me and in my life, I've seen the negative effects far too often of not moving when God says move. Mm-hmm. And I don't want that for me anymore. And I don't want that for anybody, because what's going to happen is you're going to get to the end of your life and you're going to die full. And God's going to be like, when you see him face to face, he's going to say, why do you still have this? Why didn't you leave it on the table? Why didn't you leave it on the earth? Why didn't you pour this out? Why do you still have this? Why did you join in this? Because I made excuses, or I'm a mom now, or I'm a business owner now, or I'm in school now, or I'm not this and I'm not that. And God is saying, like, no, I told you far before you even, your mom and dad even knew each other, that I called you to this.
Yeah.
And you let other things get in the way and drown and drown my voice out, so much so that it didn't affect you. It was of no effect to you anymore. And so I want us to get to the place that I'm working so diligently to stay in, which is where you hear God clearly and you're bold enough to move. One of my sisters, Elder Brittany, she said, she preached a message 2 Sundays ago, and it was, have the audacity to ask.
Yeah.
And so I think right now I want to say, do you have the audacity to act? You know, like, it may, people could not understand, well, Kelly, why are you going overseas? Why are you doing this? It's because I moved at the word of the Lord. Mm-hmm. Why would you go to this country? Why are you going to that country? Why are you wearing this? Why are you learning this language? Why are you eating this? Because I moved at the word of the Lord. And then now I'm in a position where, even work with anti-trafficking organizations, like, I'm able to give a global concept of it, and I'm young and I'm black, and there's not many people like me in this space. And it's like, I'm just reminded constantly. I keep studying Esther, that for which I'm called for such a time as this. And so and I think that everybody, I think you're here alive for the time that you're needed the most. Mm-hmm. Like, it's not an accident. Mm-hmm. And so that's just kind of where I am right now in life. So I love the work that I do overseas. I love the work that I do in the United States. But most importantly, like, I love the fact that I'm in a good place with God.
Good
place with God.
Yeah, real talk. And, And I think it's incredible, and just hearing you talk, it's very evident why you've been able to do and how God has been able to use you, how he's been able to use you, you know, because you gave him your complete yes, you know. And as you already said, you know, it's not about being perfect. It's not about crossing every T, dotting every I, sign about that. We try for that, you know, but we still mess up. We still sin. We still fall short. We still be like, God, I don't know. You know, we still go through those moments. But when, you know, looking at the heart, you know, it's like, okay, like, she's mine, you know, and I know that her desire is me in whatever it is that I have to, what it is that I want to do. And it's this season a lot is making me think about Esther and just how, you know, what Mordecai told her. He's like, you know, you have this wonderful opportunity. God is calling you to do this, to, even if you don't know exactly how it's going to play out, he's calling you to do this. But if you don't do it, you've been sitting up there looking pretty. Okay. But don't think that you're not going to be affected. Don't think you won't see the negative effects of your disobedience. Don't think that because you didn't take that opportunity, that it's not going to come back, not only on you, but your family. Because God's purpose, he's going to complete what he wants to do. His word is not going to return to him void. What he says, what he purposes, it is going to happen. The question is, are you going to be a part of it or no? Ooh. You know, and it's very humbling. Because, you know, we talked about that idea of time, and we have tomorrow. And yeah, his mercy is everlasting, but there is a schedule, you know, there is a schedule. And when we continually say no at some point, okay, well, let me go over here, you know, because she's been waiting to hear from me. He's been waiting to hear from me. And I know, you know, that once I ask them, they're immediately going to get up. you know, because you want to stay over there, and that's fine. Be in your box. Be in your box, you know. And that's a scary thing to be, to get, you know, like you just said, to get to heaven, God, you look Jesus in the face. It's like, So you just know. You don't want to.
You just did whatever you felt like doing. Nothing that I told you to do. Mm-hmm. Or some of it. But the thing is, like, how much more beautiful and fulfilling would a life be if you were literally living out your purpose?
Mm-hmm.
It would be such, and it's not saying, because I don't like creating this false narrative that if you all that God called you to, that you won't have any problems. Because that is actually not biblical. We see that all the disciples, they didn't really live like, they didn't really die like these most beautiful deaths. Like, oh my goodness, I'm dying in my sleep. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, they were like tortured. They were like martyrs. And so I think that realizing that sometimes when God is calling us to, what God is calling us to do, it's not going to be without struggle, but the thing is, you're not going to be doing it alone. And he wants you to work to the point you do get weak, because when you're weak, then he finally, that's like when you get to say, oh God, tap you in, honey, cuz. And then you'll be able to see that something else, that you'll be able to feel heaven backing you up, that heaven is not allowing you to fail. You won't fail. You cannot fail.
Yeah.
And I think so often we're just so afraid to fail. It was this one time I went to Mexico for my birthday last year with my cousin and one of my girlfriends, and they put a life vest on me, and I promise you, I was talking about this trip for 2 years. Like, I want to do this. The first year I flaked out, I didn't do proper planning. But the second year I was like, you know what? Whatever, whoever comes with me, I'm going.
Yeah.
So we went to all these, we paid our little money, and we went to all these different cenotes all over the East Coast of Africa, Mexico. Mm-hmm. And it was an all day thing. And we were jumping off of yachts, jumping into cenotes, hanging off of these little things that you swing off of and drop into water. And I actually need to correct my language. They were jumping off of yachts and jumping off of cenotes. So even though I said that I wanted to do this and I just whatever, it literally, I posted a video on Instagram. It literally took me like 5 minutes after my girlfriend jumped off of the yacht to jump in the water. It literally took me, I created a reel with that sound, oh no, oh no, oh no, oh no. Like, where my cousin Selena jumped, she swung on the thing, jumped down, and then I just like, I just turned around and walked away. And then the other video, I had to keep going to the edge. And the crazy thing is, in none of these situations would I have ever drowned, because I had a life vest on. But I was just scared to jump. And my cousin is like, Kelly, you won't drown. And even if you didn't have a life vest on, you know how to swim. But it was something in me that just didn't want to do it. And I think God even used it as an example. Like, Kelly, it's some situations where you're going to have to take a leap of faith. But you have to acknowledge and give me credit that in times when you weren't even obeying me and you jumped, I was still there to catch you.
Yeah.
So now that you are obedient, like forsake the hesitation.
Yeah.
Forsake the hesitation, because I got you.
Yeah.
And you're doing what I called you to do. And I'm not going to let you fail. And I'm not going to let you be ashamed. And I'm not going to let you die in this, like this. I'm going to, I've started this beautiful work in you, and I promise you, I'm so faithful to complete it. And so I'm super excited about whatever it is that he wants to continue to do. And even in some situations where it doesn't make sense, I'm submitting to that, because I truly, truly, truly want to die empty. And the only way to do that is to really be a woman of faith. It's really no other way. And we can't really sugarcoat it and make it seem like it's going to be something that is not. It's gonna take, it takes faith to do well on this journey. And it's not gonna always make sense, but it's always 100% of the time gonna be worth it.
Well, you have been so gracious this time to share a lot about who you are and in your experience and all that you're doing right now. For those who want to continue to follow you, see what you're doing, support in whatever mannerisms that you have, how can people get in contact with you or follow Mona's project or the Mona Project?
So if you're interested in learning more, and I think everybody should, if you're interested in learning more about human trafficking, you can, this is Instagram, so you can go to our Instagram page, which is Project Mona's, M-O-N-A-S House. And also that's our website, projectmonashouse.com. And also on our website is just Project Mona's House. And something cool, if you click on the link in our bio, we have a film, a 20-minute film that you can watch. And it's called Sold Next Door. And so a lot of times when I started this work fighting human trafficking, I just thought that it was just international. And that's what landed me in countries like India and Nepal and Brazil and Guatemala. But then I started realizing that there were traffickers that lived on my street. One of my best friend's father was a trafficker, you know, and, you know, selling women to NFL and NHL players and made the news and stuff like that. And that human trafficking is a crime that happens right here under our noses. And so I worked to produce a film along with executive producer film, along with a great group of people from Pan American Film Division. And it's called Soul Next Door, and it's free, and it's on our website. And you literally get the opportunity to learn all about human trafficking, not all about it, but hear the stories of two women and their experiences. And a lot of modern day trafficking that happens in the United States really mirrors their experiences. So I would recommend that you watch that, and we have tons of free material. If you're ever interested in maybe coming overseas with me and serving overseas, maybe it's just a week, and maybe you might say, you know what, I think I want to do this forever. We have space for you to do that as well, in India, Brazil, and Guatemala. We're accepting short and long-term people that want to do missions work. And so you can find out more about that by going to RAMP Global Missions and Project Mona's House and Ramp Global Missions. Those links are in my bio on my personal page, which is Miss Kelly Diane. So, I would love to connect, and I'll be starting a Bible study online virtually again. I did it a couple years ago, and I'm going to be doing it again. And one thing that we're going to, our starting point is going to be doing emotionally healthy spirituality. Mm-hmm. And so it'll be a good group of women from all across the world, different time zones. And so, but if people are interested in that, just follow me online and you'll get some information about that. But I'm expecting that God is raising up daughters to do some amazing and incredible work. And I'm happy just to be a part of it.
We'll let the church say amen.
Amen.
There's a scripture that says, ask me and I will make the nations your inheritance. The ends of the earth will be your possession. And that is my word to you for tonight. So asked it, you've already seen it, but there's more out there, as you've already said. And I know that as you continue to say yes, God's like, yeah, that's my girl. So I can just go ahead and give her that whole continent. She'll be good. She'll be all right. She'll figure it out. But thank you so much for coming on and sharing. You are beautiful. And thank you so much for what you've been doing, what you've given your life for. And I know so many people have been impacted by your ministry. So I cannot wait at all to see what it does with you next.
Thank you. I appreciate you. I love you. Thank you for your support over the years.
Absolutely love you too. Have a wonderful evening. Get some rest, please.
Oh, yes, I will. Okay. I get to my next flight and get home, your girl gonna be knocked out.
Awesome.
All right, girl. Bye.
Bye. Thank you for listening today, and I hope you can join me again for the next time
on Be You for a Purpose, the podcast.